Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm your host, Sammy Womack, a nationally recognized money expert, budgeting coach, and your very own hype squad. I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Just a reminder that everything discussed in today's episode will be linked in the show notes. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads at A Sunny Side Up Life. If you're ready to take control of your money and need guided instructions, check out my free budgeting challenge by going to asunnysideuplife.com. Now, let's get into the episode. I am so excited to welcome this week's guest. Chloe is a pregnancy and postnatal fitness and corrective exercise specialist and women's fitness specialist, and the founder of Chloe Puff Training. She has worked with hundreds of women from all over the world in all stages of motherhood to help them unlock their confidence as mothers, as women, and in their own bodies. Her mission is to change the standard of fitness for women, especially mothers. She aims to remove the pressure to bounce back and create a space in the world for moms to thrive the way they truly deserve, cutting through the BS and providing solutions that empower. For me personally, Chloe is also my trainer. I have worked with her for several weeks now, and I've seen amazing results and had some life-altering mindset shifts around my relationship with my body, food, movement, and everything that goes with it. So I am so excited for you guys to meet Chloe and to hear all of her amazing insights. Okay, welcome. I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. So welcome. And
thank you.
Yes.
Super excited to be here.
Yes. Let's just jump right in and tell everybody who you are, what you do, you know, the Cliff Note version, and then we'll dig into all the juicy questions.
Perfect. So my name is Chloe. And everybody asks me why Chloe Puff Training. Chloe
Yes.
Puff Training is my business, but Puff is actually my maiden name. It's not some made up thing. And I kept it because that's what the celebrities do, right?
Exactly. So, you know, so Chloe, like that's exactly what I did. I have my diploma behind me. And even though I was married when I graduated, I never changed my name at school. I just wanted to graduate like as me,
yeah,
as that little girl who dreamed of going to college.
I love it. Yep.
It's weird.
And that's me and my business. This
yeah.
is this is my college. I'm
yeah.
like, I love you, husband. And also,
exactly. Yes, we had that whole conversation. So I'm totally on the same page with you.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, this business started because the Cliff Notes version is prior to becoming a pre through postnatal corrective exercise specialist, a women's fitness specialist, and all these other things. I started in professional dance. And so for me, the transition happened into fitness because as a professional dancer, I had spent so many years feeling very in touch with my body, but like it was my instrument. It was very second nature to me. And I felt very out of body after having my first kid. And I think the biggest struggle for me was recognizing that it really didn't matter how in shape you are, how athletic you were. Pregnancy is an entirely different sport. Pregnancy, postpartum, it's something so different, and nobody is exempt from all of these problems, problems which I wasn't even educated on. So when I became pregnant, I was like, well, this is a nice surprise. Wasn't expecting this. So because I had like, I'm going to be blunt and I don't want to project my experience on anybody, but I had, am I allowed to swear on here?
Yeah, you're fine.
Well, I had the shittiest pregnancy and postpartum experience both times.
Mm.
Like I love my kids, but I hate pregnancy. I hate being postpartum. I just never, that really threw me through a loop in so many ways. I suffered from severe postpartum depression and anxiety. I suffered from pelvic floor dysfunction. I had an abdominal separation like 100% of pregnancies do, except mine last. So I couldn't get back to my sport. And that was my one thing that I felt like I had. So basically in this process of stumbling over, trying to figure out how the hell am I supposed to recover this body so that I can go back to teaching and being on my feet, I realized that it was so much more than just like some YouTube videos and even like pelvic floor physical therapy. I went, they didn't help me. They kept me on the table. They told me, hey, just do some Kegels. And because of my horrible pregnancy and postpartum experience, I will say that I am grateful now in hindsight that I had gone through that, because otherwise I wouldn't have known anything that I do today. And yeah, I wouldn't be helping hundreds of women get their lives back because their pelvic floors are functioning better, which means their whole lives are feeling stronger. People are feeling more empowered in their bodies because they know how to eat without having to diet and like fit back into their pre-baby genes. So that's kind of the origin story in a nutshell of how my business came to be. And I've been doing that for 5 years, but I've been coaching for over 14. So
I thought that was fascinating that you were a dancer. I learned that from your podcast, which I highly recommend. And I will link the show notes, of course. And I was just like, yeah, I see that. I see you being a dancer. Like, I'm like, I can see it now in her personality. I love that.
Oh, yes.
That's just dance not vibes. Something that you hear a lot of, like, that's how I got started.
Yeah. And it's just really funny because it's polar opposite. I feel like, yes, it gave me a lot of body awareness. It gave me a whole different edge as a coach, a whole different facet of tools. But honestly, everything that I thought I knew about strength and athleticism and my body and confidence and like literally everything is kind of the polar opposite in motherhood. It's like my body was my billboard. Like my job was literally like I could get hired or fired based off of my body size, like how I looked in a certain costume. Like it was ridiculous. And like, of course, the dysmorphia that came from hopping into my mom bod was such a shock to my system. So I am really glad that that was kind of my background, because it really gives me so much more perspective than just I went from not a mom to a mom. I went from an athlete to what is this body and what is it doing? Because I just don't understand.
I mean, it changes everything. I mean, motherhood changes everything. And obviously it changes your body, and obviously it changes your brain and your goals. And it changes just literally everything. I say that a lot about I had no intentions to homeschool. I mean, I was homeschooled, but I had no intentions to homeschool. I was going to be this businesswoman. I was, you know, I had this idea of who I was going to be. And then I met my daughter. And then I was like, oh, okay. Actually, you know, it shifts everything for you.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I really wanted to kind of dig into we kind of touched on this already, like what kind of drove you to be passionate about this, but why, like what you're doing now, why like personal training, why podcasting, why sharing it on social media? How did you kind of get from, you know, a lot of us go through our own journeys, but not all of us turn them into a I turned mine into a business, but you know.
I totally get what you're saying. I think for me, my, like at the risk of sounding just utterly cheesy, my greatest joy in life is seeing other people reach their potential. That is what I actually loved most about being a choreographer and a dancer. I don't even know if I've shared this. I hated being a professional dancer. I loved being on stage. I loved being in the classroom. I loved being an artist. I did not like the whole game of the industry. I liked mentoring people and watching dancers have those aha moments to the point where they were like, the way that I would describe it is like, you can't fit a square into a circle. You're thinking too logically. This is art and athleticism. So being able to actually like say things to these people I was mentoring to get those gears to click was really powerful for me, because there is nothing more joyous in my own personal experience to have these aha moments and to up level and reach new pieces of yourself that you didn't know existed. And dance was the vehicle that I helped people do that. And it only seemed like it literally just felt like a lateral shift for me to continue to help. Like, I don't like to use the word inspire, because it's not just like I'm making people feel excited. It's like to really help pull the true potential out of people, but not me doing it, helping people do that for themselves. Yes. And it was just kind of a lateral movement for me that once dance kind of filled its purpose in my life, I realized that the people who actually need this are moms. Mm-hmm. Because dancers will always have support. Dancers right. will always have choreographers to follow, and, you know, they'll always have classes to take and, you know, always artistry to explore. But one thing, like the real reason that I'm doing this work is because when I became a mom, I felt like I lost my artistry. I lost my sense of self. I lost all my support. And yeah. I just couldn't understand why. And for me, it was like, I knew what my capacity was. I knew what my gifts were, and I knew how I was able to help people. And so movement continued to be the vehicle, just in a very different way. So that's what ultimately inspired me to pursue the certifications, not only to heal my own body, but my philosophy is, you know, lead by example. I'm going to take the first yeah. step. So in order for me to help other people, I knew that I had to help myself first. And the people that I was asking for help from, crickets, nowhere yeah. to be found, had terrible experiences with my providers, with my PTs. No one was able to give me answers on my athlete body that I knew so much about. No one was able to help me understand myself more. So I just decided to take it into my own hands. And then I thought, well, shit, I've got these certifications. I'm going to start a business. Yeah, I eventually just started Chloe Puff Training, and I transitioned out of dance.
I love that. And I heard once at the beginning of starting my business that your ideal client is who you were 5 or 10 years ago. Mm. And that anytime you get stuck on how do I word a social media caption? What do I say? Which way do I say it? Go back to that version of you.
Yeah.
Tell her what she needed to hear. What was she missing? What kind of yeah. support did she need? And I always go back to that. And that's a lot. That's exactly what I do. Like, I serve who I used to be. Yeah. I pick up the slack. I provide the support that I wish I would have had.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's exactly what you do as well. And that's, I mean, I think that's why I relate to you a lot too. Mm. I can kind of see myself in that, you know, perspective. And also, I think it's a lot of the similarities between you and I with our businesses is you found something that you were like, hey guys, this works. Guys, yeah. listen, this works. This fixed yeah. it. This helped me. This saved me. And yeah. you just like want to tell everybody. And that's the exact same way I feel about money. I'm just like, you guys, this changed everything. This made my whole yeah. life better. Listen. And yeah. I just want to tell everybody. I'll tell anybody if they sit still long enough to listen, mm. you know, and yep. like, I'll help you. I promise. Let's go. Listen.
Yeah, I'm like, please ask me about your pelvic floor.
Right.
We can talk about this forever. Yes, please.
And it's like those questions that I'm at a party and someone starts talking about money and I'm like, hello, money? What'd you say? You know, or someone will be like, don't say that around Sammy. She's going to get on to you because of your budget.
Oh my gosh. I'm opposite. It's funny with fitness though, because either one, people will have blatant conversations and they just will completely like, mm-hmm. I don't know, put a wall up.
Yeah.
Or they'll try and have secret conversations. But I'm like, guys, I don't want to be up in your business because yeah. you're not going to change if you don't want to change. And if you truly wanted to change, you would come ask me.
I had to learn to stop, like, not give unsolicited advice because it's such a touchy subject. And I'm sure yeah. like health and fitness is kind of the same way.
Yeah.
People like try to hide their purchases around me, or they like try not to talk about it because they're like, oh, she's going to judge me or like whatever. Yeah. I'm like, you do you. If you want my help, I mean, I'm here, but
yeah,
like if you don't, that's exactly. also fine.
Yeah. I'm like, listen, honey, you can talk about Ozempic, but if you want me to chime in, I'm going to chime all the way yeah. in.
Don't ask my opinion unless you really want it. Cause right. I will give it.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not just going to hold back because you're family.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I love you. So I'm going to tell you the truth. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah. It's hard. Plus, I'm like, now that I actually like have clients, I'm like, I don't have energy to like coach you on the side, yeah. random people anyway. So,
no,
you know, it's fine. Yeah. I have other people to focus on, but I love kind of the overlap. And that's something you and I have spoken about privately since I started working with you, and something that I kind of related to my husband was what I told him. I was like, look, we have accomplished so much with our money. And I was like, there's got to be some link in there that we can connect. Mm. How can I take that same, okay, that was my end goal with money. Now, how do I do this with my body and make it work? Because yeah. I accomplished so much with my money. How do I do that with my body? And he's like, okay, let's think about the long-term goals. Let's try to like equate this. Yes. And there are so many similarities in the same people hiding their purchases as people hiding their desserts, you know?
Yes.
It's like the same kind of, and you're allowed to have some desserts, just like you're allowed to have some like splurges in your budget. And there are so many similarities. So for me, I keep trying to find the similarities to make it make sense in my brain. And I love that in a way. And since I feel like they're both kind of taboo topics, there's also a lot of conflicting advice depending on who you ask and all of that. Have you found any comparisons as well? Because I know like you're on your own financial journey and kind of doing all of that as well. Have you found any similarities there?
So many. The first similarity that comes to mind is the topic of shame, because there's so much. I think shame in itself is a really interesting topic, because really what I find with both money and fitness is like, it's really hard to one, take responsibility. Number two, once you take responsibility, then the actual hard work begins. But then step three, there's also an element of acceptance, like when it comes to like removing shame from the journey, whether it be, you know, money or your health, there has to be this level of acceptance, and you truly have to be willing to accept and release that feeling in order for you to move forward. Because if you continue to hold on to those feelings of shame or regret or guilting yourself and, you know, basically just real harsh self-judgment, it's going to be damn near impossible for you to make any sort of sustainable headway. It's those two. Like, I just feel like it's really hard for you to be healthy, because guilt and shame is not a super healthy emotion to just be experiencing and pushing on yourself at all times. So that's the biggest similarity that I see. And it's also the hardest thing to move through, because it's not something where you're like, step one, do this. Step two.
Stop beating yourself up. Let me just stop.
And I think also the fact that, like, just on that same thing, I think one of the bigger similarities here too is that it can be a highly emotional experience. The way that you, the way that we can all relate to our money experience is deeply tied to emotions, whether it be traumatic emotions, happy emotions. Like, you learn your money story or you learn your body story based off of the experiences that you have. Deeply emotional. And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit, or at least we don't understand the true weight of that connection when it comes to breaking free from this shame cycle, or getting, you know, making any sort of, reaching a sort of goal when it comes to your health or your money, if you're not also recognizing where those like deep-seated beliefs come from. So, you know, if we're talking about body shame, following like some workouts and a meal plan isn't going to help you unlearn years of, you know, bullying from when you were a kid, or, you know, the traumatic experiences from birth. Just like, you're not going to suddenly, because you're putting money away in savings, you're suddenly, you know, healed from the fact that you were extremely like impoverished as a child, or that your, you know, your dad said things like money doesn't grow on trees or, you know, there's just different. I think we just really need to recognize how deep we truly need to go, and how much this is tied to our experience. But the common factor here in terms of like moving forward is bringing those things to light, accepting them, releasing them, and unlearning them, so that we can make space for whatever the truth is in this case, or whatever the most aligned action is, the new belief that we want to have. Like, if you want to feel confident in your body, you can't be showing up as the overweight 10-year-old that you used to be on the playground getting made fun of because, you know, some kid was like, oh, your belly's hanging out.
Yeah.
You can't be showing up like that. So it's about, it's about like bringing those things up and unlearning them, or at least accepting them, so that you can replace them with a new belief and a new strategy that aligns with that belief, so that you can make that goal actually come to fruition.
And that's where, that's where therapy will come in really handy.
Yes.
I'm a big advocate of therapy. And it's therapy is a lot of, man, I'm like, how did I ever survive without therapy at this point? We do a lot of work with little Sammy. She had some, you know, anger, then she had some work that needed to be done. But it's like exactly what you said. That's exactly what I was going to say, was kind of unlearning. And I think it's also kind of identifying what your story was in whatever area of your life you're working on, if it's money or health or anything else. Kind of, really have to identify what that story was and then kind of go, oh, that's why. And then kind of like unlearn it, which to me, a lot of mine was like kind of picking it apart and kind of going back and being like, do you remember like why you're actually upset? Do you remember why you're triggered by this? Cause a lot of times you just kind of like, I don't know, that was just childhood. That was just how it was. And then also another similarity that I have really seen was I hate the word ignorant, because I think ignorant has like a bad connotation to it, but honestly, just not knowing what to do. For the past 4 years, I've worked with over 100 clients one-on-one, real women who took action on making big changes to their finances. My coaching sessions are designed to give you completely personalized budgeting support. Together, we'll organize your bills, build better spending habits, pay down your debt, build your savings, and invest for the future. I'll help you get a system in place that will set you up for success for years to come. I'll answer all of your questions along the way, talk you through all of your mindset blocks, and most of all, I'll be there to hold you accountable. So this time will be the time that you'll finally stick to your budget and make those dreams a reality. Visit asunnysideuplife.com/coaching to apply today to see if one-on-one budget coaching is right for you. Like we were messaging about the nutrition labels. To me, and it sends me into like a panic attack tailspin of, I just don't understand it. Yeah. And it's like trying to relearn. It's not even relearn, to learn something from the very beginning, learn a foreign language. And I feel like money can be that way too, of just, honestly, I was never taught what to do. I was never taught how to I don't understand.
I think most millennials can relate.
Yes. But it's like, I see those similarities too with health and with money, is like, if you never grew up understanding how to read a nutrition label, you're not going to understand how to read a nutrition label.
You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. If you didn't grow up knowing what the stock market was, you're not going to know what the stock market is.
So this totally goes back to shame.
Yeah.
And those feelings of guilt, because what I find, and I don't know if you experience this with your clients, but I work with exclusively with women, particularly moms. It's so crazy how hard we are on ourselves for not doing the things that we literally don't know how to fucking do. Like,
exactly.
I'm sorry. No one taught you how to balance a spreadsheet or your checkbook or whatever, but then you're mad at yourself for not having a balanced checkbook. Like, duh. So I just find like, it's funny to me, because we would not treat our kids the same way. Like if your kid is learning how to potty train, you don't yell at them because they had an accident when they're literally just learning. You say, oh, it's okay, honey. Like you
remove, let's clean it up. Let's.
Yeah. You neutralize the emotion and we're just normalizing everything. We're making the process messy. And you don't suddenly like, you don't, after that one accident, you're not like, all right, back in diapers for you.
Yeah.
We can do this.
You didn't get it on the first day. You're done.
Yeah. Well, and then it's crazy. Like, you know, I didn't have like a super fast potty training experience with either one of my kids. It was kind of like, they're ready when they're ready. One of my kids, it was a lot easier than the other. But I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, this is so many of us, like just literal infants in whatever we're doing. I'm a money infant. I will admit one of my goals this year is, you know, understanding money more and taking the confusion and stress out of money. But here's the thing is going back to what you were saying. It's like, yeah, we don't know what we don't know. But the truth is fitness really isn't that complicated.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. It's actually incredibly simple. And the reason that it's confusing is because here's some numbers for you since you love numbers.
I love numbers.
There is, and I'm pretty sure that this has increased. There's an 85% annual turnover rate for coaches in the industry for fitness, which means every year, only 20% of the people that sign up to be coaches or, you know, take certifications actually stick around. So those other 80%, whether it's well-intentioned or, hey, I want to grow this business, and so I'm going to say whatever clickbaity stuff needs to happen in order for me to get followers and clients. There is so much misinformation from baby coaches going out there and saying, this is how I think it's supposed to be done, because it's not medical. It's not regulated. So it's just out there. And the more that I learn about business specifically, the marketing is meant to be confusing. The marketing is meant to poke at insecurities. The marketing is meant to make it seem like there is a gap in what you need. I'm going to just tell you this.
Money is like, the exact same way. It's money talking.
We're just packaging it different. Like here is the secret for all your fitness needs. Are you ready?
Yeah.
One, if you want to lose weight, you need to be in an energy deficit, meaning you are eating less than you were expending. We don't need to earn and burn our calories. You just need to know how much is going in and how much is going out, just like a budget.
Yeah.
If you're tracking your budget, it makes it really simple. So even though I'm not tracking every single calorie with my clients, there's ways to do that in a much easier, a much easier way to help get an idea of how much is incoming and outgoing. As for overall health, you know, you see things like balance your hormones, boost your metabolism. Nothing is broken. Nothing is out of balance. The problem, the real thing that we need is what I call getting your shit together. Your sleep, your stress, your hormones, your intake, which is your food, your training, and the timeline. If you have all of those things together, that's healthy. That's maintenance.
Yeah.
Meaning you're sleeping well, you're managing your stress, you're eating the right amount of food for your body. You don't have to be on a diet. You don't have to eat paleo or vegan. And this is coming from somebody who was a vegan for like 7 years. You don't need to have a special type of workout. You just need to move your body. You need to eat good food. You need to sleep. You need to manage your stress, and you need to give yourself some time. And that's the secret.
And I think for some reason that kind of feels like a trick. Like it's like, that's too easy. I don't know.
But you know what I mean? The part that makes it complicated is that because there's so much nuance, like that's the skeleton, but there is nuance because obviously every person is different. But what's ridiculous is saying like, we could go on and on about this, but what's ridiculous is like programs saying that you have to adhere to this point system in order to succeed. You must eat this food in order to succeed. If you don't do it exactly this way, you're not going to get the results. And everything that is out there is intentionally built so that if you're not using the product, the service, the tools, the rules, that you fail.
Yeah.
Whereas what I coach on is, we're not following any rules. We're not sticking to some sort of system.
Yeah.
Because what if the system crumbles? We need to be ready for anarchy, baby.
It's not sustainable. And that's the exact same way with money. That's what it's people that come, it's the exact same equivalent here. It's the exact same metaphor. People that come from like Dave Ramsey, that is mass marketed, just like, you know, like Beachbody or Weight Watchers, or it's the same thing. It's mass marketed. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
But it is so rigid that life happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a baby and your whole life changes. And then you're like, and then I just did nothing for like 5 years.
Yeah.
Because it didn't teach you the tools.
It gets overwhelming.
How to be flexible and what to do when it's a different season and when it's, you know. And it makes it so complicated and so rigid that it does not flex with real life. Yeah. And so I think that's like the ultimate is like, okay. And that's where I'm trying to like make the connection in my brain with my health. It's being like, it's not a trick. It can be easy. And yeah. I seriously, I have so much, and I'll probably talk about this tomorrow with my therapist. But I have so much like dysmorphia almost with food was the yogurt that you recommended to me. And it's like 17 grams of protein and like no sugar. And I'm immediately, I grab it in the grocery store and I'm already having a panic attack because my kids are being crazy. And I went at like 5:30 PM and I shouldn't have done that.
Oh no, that's the witching hour.
And
the store
was packed. And yeah, it was a bad, oh my gosh. That was my bad.
Don't tell me you had to do self-checkout too.
Yes, I did. Yeah, it was a whole thing. I had all three of my kids. It was anyway. And so I get this yogurt and I immediately am like, this is going to be so nasty. And I'm immediately telling myself this story. Okay. And I'm on like my third tub of it now because it's yummy. And then yesterday I really had this moment where I was like, I like this. Wait, am I, did I get the no sugar?
Did I just say that?
I actually like this. So this must be a trick. Yeah. There's no way that this is actually healthy. I grabbed the wrong one. And I'm like rereading the label.
Yeah.
Because my brain is like, if it's easy, if you're enjoying it, you must be doing it wrong.
Isn't that so fucked? Like that's like, how we think about our lives. Like if it's not that, yeah, that is exactly like the premise in which I coach. Like just, you don't have to go hard or go home. You don't have to have a no days off or an all or nothing or let's start Monday or cheat meal mentality.
Yeah.
Like it literally can be easy. It's going to be a lot. Well, let me say it this way.
Yes.
It's not going to be easy. It can be very, very simple.
Yes.
But it doesn't also have to be like challenging and complicated.
Right.
It can just be challenging and simple. And I think because we're so used to being confused intentionally for the sake of sales and also because all of these celebrities are endorsing things.
Yes.
You know, won't name names here, but I'm just like, this is why it's so confusing, but that's marketing. So I think the more that we realize that money actually runs the information, then the more freedom that we have to like start looking for the right answers. Like just because Dave Ramsey's like overhead and his ad spend is, you know, who knows, maybe millions, in the hundreds probably. Of thousands at this point, you know, just because he has more finance, he can push that information out. And the same thing with, you know, these celebrity trainers and stuff, just because they're popular doesn't mean that they're the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to just be okay with that. Like you need to start. Okay. This is one thing I will say after like the little pandemic. One thing that I really appreciate is the shift to like more people being like, let's support small business. I want you to think, listeners, I want you to think about looking for your solution, like for your health, for your money. And I will say money falls under the health category. So we'll just say for your health. Think of it like shopping on Etsy instead of shopping on Amazon. Like you're going to get a much better quality. You actually know who you're shopping from. You can see the reviews that nobody messaged them like, hey, I'll pay you a $50 Amazon card for this BS review. Like, think of it that way. Shopping small when it comes to a coach is really important because you actually want to be, I believe this. And like, listen, one day when my business is big, I'm still going to stay exclusive because I enjoy knowing my clients.
Yes.
I don't care how big I scale, but that's the whole purpose of coaching. If you're not actually being in proximity to anyone, you're not being coached.
Yeah.
So shop small with your coach. Actually find someone that is going to, that you're going to have a connection with as you're navigating these things. And not just paying for their system, because the system is literally just their solution, which is all pretty much the same thing wrapped into a shiny package to manipulate you into buying.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So just the solution is to work with someone that you actually want to work with. And I guarantee you, if they have all the right pieces in place, the foundations, it doesn't really matter what they have you doing.
Yeah.
If you gel with them and you vibe with their values, that's what's going to work, not because this person had you eating only meat or, you know, no fat or exercising 17 hours a day.
It doesn't have to be complicated, I think, is that as well. And honestly, I think it's about, like what you said, kind of that shopping around and finding someone that you can work well with. And I think that applies to anything like therapy, for example. If you had a bad experience, then if you didn't love it and it wasn't like adding to your life, bringing you joy, you're working with the wrong person. Find somebody else. It's not therapy's fault. It's that person didn't align with you. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. And like, I've really been on this like self-care kind of journey, and I've been sharing a lot about it for maybe like a year and a half. And I went through really bad time with my allergies, and like, I do those shots like in my stomach, and it's this whole thing. And I've been doing that for like a year and a half now. And it was this moment of my body being like, hello, we're going to freak out now and you're going to pay attention. And after just years and years and years of just putting a Band-Aid on things, just be like, take more ibuprofen and go to sleep and just ignore it. And my body was like, no more. So you're going to be suddenly allergic to everything that you've ever been around. Suddenly I'm allergic. Suddenly I'm allergic to grass and trees and dogs, cats. I've had dogs and cats in the house my whole life. Suddenly my body's like, no, you're done. Mm-mm. And so I'm doing this, and I'm, you know, going to therapy and going to the chiropractor. And it's like finding people that are actually bringing value to my life, going to the dermatologist, shopping around. And for me personally, I don't know. I try not to be too much of like a feminist, but I love working with women. So my chiropractor is a woman. My therapist is a woman. My allergy specialist is a woman. My dermatologist is a woman.
Listen, all I'm going to say is equal rights is choosing women to support women because nobody else is doing it.
Yeah. So, well, they take me seriously. They listen to me. Yeah. They, you know, support me.
There's so much. Yeah. And I will just say in my line of work too, the amount of medical gaslighting that I witness, and granted, I know some incredible providers, I know some incredible like body workers and whatnot.
Yeah.
But when it comes to health stuff, the amount of dismissal, the amount of, I quite literally don't have the time to sit down with you because I am forced to take on, you know, like a patient every 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like it makes I'll put it in quotes, the healthcare system isn't really built to actually support women, especially when they become moms. So I'm glad that you're finding people that you feel heard by, because that's ultimately the most important. And also, you know, like we were talking about before, emotions play a huge role in it. And your experience as a whole plays a huge role. If you don't feel seen or heard, no amount of perfect solution is going to feel like the right one if you're not actually feeling supported. Where's the village?
Right.
Where is it?
Exactly. So I've kind of been on this journey of like, I'm building my village. I'm doing this. Like, if I'm going to be the best version of myself, and I have this idea of who she is, I see little glimpses of her every once in a while. And I'm like, yep. We're on the mark. And I had this like moment, like yesterday, I was like coming into my office and I like had my healthy breakfast and I'm like, and I had energy and I'm like sitting down to do my work and my house is quiet and like all these things. And I'm like, oh, there it is. That's her right there. You know, it didn't last very long because then my kids are up and my dog's being crazy. And then, you know, and all the things, but I'm like, like a glimpse of her. And so it's like, how can we walk towards her more and become, and that's what I tell my clients too, is like, okay, you picture this long-term version of yourself. It doesn't necessarily have to be like on your deathbed, but far enough in the future that there's time to accomplish things. You know, 1 year from now, you're like, there's no way I can get all that done. But if it's like 10 years from now, 20 years from now, there's plenty of time I can get that done. What does she look like? What is she doing? How does she feel? Who is she with? How does she spend her days? All these things. Get that vision and then walk towards it. And to me, in that vision, I'm like, this, you know, businesswoman and I like do my business, but I'm also very balanced and I like roll up to the gym and like my cute little gym outfit, like in my Range Rover, because I just have so much money and, you know, and I'm like, that's how I spend my afternoon. And then I go home and do some calls and have this yummy dinner. And like, I have this vision and that vision is not me like hiding under a blanket because she's exhausted. That's not her.
Yeah.
It's like, how do we walk towards, and that vision of me is on vacations, looking great, feeling great, eating whatever I want because I'm on vacation and I feel great and I can and food is yummy and, you know, and I'm in a bikini at like 45 and
hell yeah,
you know, all these things. And my husband's there and he's healthy and he's, you know, it's not like on my deathbed at 40 because I feel awful. And how do we get to her? And so trying to like kind of connect that, which is something else that I wanted to talk to you about, was kind of, I've been on this journey of like investing in my health. Yeah. And I want to hear your thoughts on that, is like spending the money, spending the time, so it doesn't end up costing you more later, because I'm a frugal girl. So I'm like, let me do it now before it's, you know, a surgery or something.
Yeah. Mm. That's a good point. And actually, before I dive into like investing in your health, because nobody wants to hear that conversation, but let me tell you, we're going to dive in a whole different way. But before that, I would actually encourage those that are listening that cannot put the picture in their mind of what that future version of themselves is.
Yeah.
To not try to create one. If you can't think 10 years in the future, when it comes to your health, you cannot picture what it would be like to wear the size 6 jeans you were wearing before you had kids. Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking about what life will look like, really think about how you want to feel. Mm-hmm. And it might not be directly related with your body. Like, for example, if I think about this is, I mean, and you've kind of gone through this experience, the goal for my clients by the end of the journey with me, and usually my clients stick around for 9 months or longer, by the time they're done working with me, it's funny how the initial goal of like, I want to lose weight so I can feel confident becomes, oh, I lost weight. That's cool. I'm too busy focused on my confidence.
Right.
And I think part of this really comes down to understanding that what you think you want with your health is not actually what you want. You don't want to be smaller. You want your confidence to be bigger. You don't want to, you know, just fit in the dress. You want to feel confident enough to wear the dress.
Yep.
But it does not at all correlate with your external. And yeah, I mean, it's a nice little cherry on top when you're feeling like svelte and you're like, yeah, I just feel so delicious. But ultimately, if you can't generate that feeling first, you're never going to feel that in your dream body. Even if you were to be the, you know, ideal size and weight and wear that dress and, you know, be in whatever you envision your whole body to be. I actually encourage more women to step away from thinking about body type as a goal at all.
Yes.
And more thinking about, how do I want to feel in this body? Like if someone were to diagnose me with a rare disease where my body physically did not change, how would I want to feel?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to be able to do? Like, it's like what you said, like, it's not about the Rover. It's about pulling up in the Rover, feeling like a queen because you're driving the Rover. It's not the car. It's how you feel in the car. And that's how I want everybody to really think about, you know, their own experience. So before we even talk about investing, think about what you're investing in. You're not dropping $20 on a program so that you can get snatched.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You're dropping $20 on wanting to be smaller when you could be investing your time and your energy, which to me is the most important currency, on becoming the person that you want to be, who feels the feelings that you want to feel on a regular basis.
Yeah. And it, to me, it's like, I don't want, I, I honestly don't want a quick fix for anything. I don't want a crash diet. I don't want a $20. I don't want a freebie. I want an investment. I want to change my life. I want to improve my life. I don't. I'm just like,
you don't
want
to be stuck with the same problems.
Yeah. I'm just so over like, and it's very much you get what you pay for. And it's very much like you have to have skin in the game. It's very much, you know, and I notice with like my clients, the ones who do the one-on-one coaching, not always, not, it's not a blanket statement, but they're going to have much better results than the people who just like get my free content on Instagram. And it's,
oh yeah,
because you're going to get like the access and you're getting what you pay for and you're going to have the results in your life. And that just translates to every single thing.
Yeah. Well, and to answer your question too, it's like, when I say, you know, invest in your health, I really am not actually talking about money, because you could pay, you know, you could drop $20K on a private chef and a coach and blah, 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 and still not get the results. The most important transaction that you can ever make with your health is the energy exchange that you get when you're working one-on-one or at close proximity with someone that actually cares about you, that someone that has no bias, that literally just, the only purpose they serve is to support you, give you the strategies and see you win. That's the only thing they want. To me, investing in your health, it's funny because I think a lot of people can like consider me, I consider me high maintenance, but in a very opposite way. And I'm not saying that being high maintenance in this other way is a bad thing, but I am not, you're not going to catch me at the nail salon. You're not going to, I will usually cut my own hair. Now, granted, I deserve to be pampered a little bit more, but I have been so dead set on my healing journey that any extra money that I have goes straight towards building that foundation first. Because if I have my health, then everything else feels great. Yeah. But the last thing I want to do is feel like shit, but have nice nails. Like that's just me. So if that makes you feel great, great. But I really do think that we need to stop thinking about our health as an expense. Like it really has to be such a mindset shift, because if it's not an expense now where you're hiring a coach or following some sort of, you know, quality program, don't just buy a program because it's there. But when you're actually investing in that, it's that energy exchange that helps you get that result. And ultimately, if it's not an expense there, it's going to show up on a medical bill. And I don't want to be gloom and doom because I'm not into fear marketing at all.
Yeah.
But the truth is that most women that come to me have already wasted thousands of dollars on different, like, not really pills. I don't see anybody, like, my clients aren't the people who are like maybe necessarily taking diet pills, but
you haven't tried, like, my grandma then.
Well, it's like, you know,
that's their generation
had like generational trauma around food, or like weird, you know, their grandparents are like, oh, you're too fat. You need to, you should think about eating less, or, you know, like cultural or generational issues, you know, moms who, like, I work with a lot of millennial moms. Like, we grew up on like cocaine skinny and heroin chic and low rise jeans. And
we grew up like with our mom, like my mom did like the Special K diet. She like ate lean cuisines, but then would also
go a Slim Fast girly.
Yeah. She would have like a lean cuisine for lunch and then like have a Pepsi to wash it down.
Yeah.
What are you doing? So,
this, you know, it's. The people that I work with see it as like they've tried a lot of things and it's so normal that we just throw money at this instead of seeing it as, I get the feeling that so many of us kind of feel like we're never like, is anything really going to work?
Yeah.
So that's why we continue to spend $20 at a time instead of $2,000 at a time on a truly deep.
Well, we already think that we're going to quit and we're going to fail. It just might be 6 months from now or 12 months from now. But when I fall off the wagon again, then I'll do whatever. I do it too. I like go ahead and I'm going to prepare myself for when I screw up.
But you know, it's funny though.
If it's not like a crash diet, what if it's not? What if you're like, no, this is who I am now. That's like the flip that you have to make is like, this is who I am now, and this is what I do. And it becomes part of your identity. But that's also the part you've got to do, that inner work of this. I identify as this person who overeats. I identify as this person who doesn't eat, which I have both in my family. Yeah. I have people who I identify as like, oh my God, I can't walk, like after every meal. And you're like, shut up, stop eating so much. And then I have other people that are like, oh my God, I haven't eaten all day.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'm eating for the first time. I forgot to eat. I'm like, you should eat more. And then the other people, I'm like, you should eat. Why are you? They're like making it part of their personality. And people do the same thing with money. I'm just bad with my money.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's do the inner work to like, it's not part of your personality.
Yeah, your habits can easily become a personality trait if you're not if you're not staying in check with yourself. And it's, we often don't even realize some of the things that we say about ourselves, which is funny because if I can just call you out for a moment, I remember our very first conversation. Yes. You had said something where it was like a, I am fill in the blank. And I said, no, you're not. You feel.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like it's just, you don't need to, we don't need to identify with our pain points. We don't need to, that doesn't need to be our personality. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that's really important is to understand, like what you said too, is like, you know, this is who I am now. I really like working with the woman who doesn't actually want to become a full blown, like fit mom. They don't want to be a gym girly or a muscle mommy. Yeah. They just want to be healthy enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, we can just be healthy enough. Like, I don't understand why we feel like we need, like, if we're going to be frugal and mindful of our money, we're going to become Scrooge versus, you know, if I'm going to be a fit mom, I'm going to have to bring my tilapia meal prep to the family barbecue. No, you don't. Yeah. What if, and you know, it's funny. I want to go back to what you said too. It's because I think, you know, you said people are so afraid to fail, which is exactly why in the first 2 weeks of my program, I'm like, here's how to fail. Like, here is what's going to go wrong. Yeah. Here is where you're going to slip up. And here is the beliefs that you need to have so that you can be delusional in the fact that this is going to happen for you. And just because you mess up doesn't mean that you need to start from scratch. It's like I said, with the potty training thing, it's like, we don't just say, all right, put the diapers back on because they had one accident. You know, we really need to go back to like treating ourselves the way that we treat our kids.
Yep.
And honestly, like, you wouldn't treat your kids like shit. So quit treating yourself the same way. Give yourself way more grace. Like, do you know how long, that you have thought that nothing tastes as good as Skinny Feels was like, okay to say?
Yep.
Like,
yeah, a very long time. Yeah.
So just, you know, I think we just need to realize that we are only as new as our experience. So I don't care if you're 35 years old, you should not know better because no one told you better. If this is your first year that you've ever endeavored into your fitness, then you are a 1 year old athlete. You are a 1 year old, you know, whatever. It's just, can we be kinder to ourselves?
I know. Please?
Like, we're all just trying to learn how to crawl here. That's it.
Yeah. I would definitely never say to my daughter some of the things that I say in my head at all. Yeah. And the relationship with food too. I would never say like, well, this is going to make you really skinny. Eat this. That would be awful.
Yeah. I would say, like, you can't have that. Yeah. It's going to make you fat.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, some parents do, but that's not, you know, that's a whole other topic.
That's because of generational trauma, baby. And that's why we need to be kinder to ourselves.
But that's exactly why my girls have such a better relationship, especially my oldest. She's such a foodie, but they have a much better relationship with like health, like fruits, veggies, things like that, where I was told, oh, they're healthy. They must be yucky. They're not going to be good. And so I'm trying to like reprogram my brain where my kids are like, strawberries. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'll force myself to eat strawberries, you know, and just because at the very beginning I was like, let's be big and strong. Let's be healthy. Like, oh, these are so yummy and they're healthy. They're going to give you so much energy. And just from the very beginning, they didn't have to like untangle and rewire all of that.
Well, so. And the bottom line is you cannot punish yourself to your goals.
Yeah.
Like with anything. And I think, you know, just feeling like it has to, that's because the generations before us, and this is a blanket statement, is like, well, we had to do this. We had to walk 20 miles in the snow and we had to suffer and suffer and suffer. So why should it be easier for you? Like, I'm sorry, but I am just of the mindset that as we continue to evolve as a society, thank you, ancestors and everybody who came before me for having to go through that. I'm so sorry, but please don't trauma dump on me because I'm trying to live my own life. It's 2024.
Yeah.
Like, are we still really commenting on people's bodies, grandma? Like, I love you.
We are.
So like, it's just mind blowing to me, but I really do think it's like, you know, if we can truly like come back to the idea that like, it doesn't have to be hard earned.
Mm-hmm.
Like earning money can be easy. Saving money can be easy. Having the dream vacation can be easy. Feeling good in your body can be easy. Lifting up dumbbells that are the exact same weight as your toddler can be easy.
Yes.
But we just look at it and go, oh, this looks different. I can't do it. It's too much.
Well, and what it really reminds me of, and have you ever read any of Brené Brown's books? Because they're incredible. Mm-hmm. And how she talks about like happiness, love, all of that is the highest form of vulnerability. And I think about that all the time, because as soon as we feel happy, we are very vulnerable because we're just like, we just feel like life's going to sneak up and go, you thought you were happy. Actually, you're sick now. You have this like disease all of a sudden, or, you know, your car is going to break down. Or as soon as you let yourself feel vulnerable and like admit that you're happy and feeling love, that's like one of, you know, all of that, that vulnerability is really what it makes me think of. And to me, my journey with my body is so vulnerable. It's one of the most vulnerable, like, journeys that I've ever been on. Money is very vulnerable too. And it's just putting yourself out there and saying like, I feel happiness, which is vulnerable, on a topic that's already very vulnerable. And you're like, I'm double vulnerable right here.
Well, because like we were talking about before, there's so much shame tied up. So it's like, I don't want to enhance your shame because I don't have any of my own.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually one thing that I've been like, really like full transparency here, just battling as a business owner who's in fitness, like, God forbid, because I'm the type of person, like coming from a dance background, I no longer want people. I don't want people to hire me as their coach because they like the way that my legs look in leggings or because I have, you know, defined abs. I could give a shit.
Yeah.
What I want people to hire me for is my expertise. And because I am a super awesome, authentic human who truly sees her clients. But at the same time, it's crazy to me still, as someone who has been doing this, I've literally been an athlete my entire life. I have been coaching for a long time. The struggles never get easier. They just change and you become more resilient. And right now I'm at a weird point where I'm like, ooh, I don't want to post this picture because it's going to make someone else feel bad about their body. When I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's not how this works anymore, because who I am calling in is the person that sees that and goes, this literally could be me. Like this literally could be me. This is possible for me. But knowing that, you know, my body is not a goal body, you should have a goal body of your own.
I'm getting to that point with like my net worth. My net worth is like in the 400,000s now.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you. But that's like, it's getting to the point where it's like, it's getting a little high to be a super relatable number.
Yeah.
And I get weird about it. And it gets like a weird part of like, I don't want to be braggy. And I also don't want people to be like, oh, that's so far away from me. She's not relatable anymore. Mm. And it's a really weird like place to be. And so I'm like going back to like, but I started here. And if I started here and I got to where I am, you can do it too. And it's not going to be overnight. And it's like constant. I feel like I'm constantly reiterating instead of just being like, look at all the money I have, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly why I'm super open with my struggles, like with my mental health struggles, with my, you know, my history of pelvic floor dysfunction and all the things, because it's the equivalent of seeing someone on Instagram who's like in a Bugatti with their Gucci bag. And meanwhile, they're like, millions of dollars in debt.
Yeah.
But you only see what you want to see. So for me, it's like, if I'm going to post that, this is why I'm also very intentional with how authentic, or I mean, you can't be intentional with authenticity. It just is what it is. But for how vulnerable, which it, with the information that I choose to share about myself, because that was my, like, going back to kind of like why I started this, is I didn't feel like anyone out there was actually sharing enough to where I felt like I wasn't the only person dealing with these problems. No one was talking about peeing their pants.
No, I literally, like, I didn't even know that's really what you talked about at first when I first started following you. And I was like, this girl's like real obsessed with people peeing their pants.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
I am.
And then I'm like, no, but like, that is a legit problem. And then I was like, how come people aren't talking about this? And I like went through this whole cycle in my mind and I was like, oh, is that like something you can fix? Oh
yeah.
I like, well, I didn't know. Cause nobody talks about it.
My whole goal is just to like normalize the fact, like, just because, like, you know, what you see on the outside looks great doesn't take away from the fact that on the inside, you might still be experiencing some issues. Like, that's why I'm very open with the fact that, you know, my body looks the way that it looks, but I have fought tooth and nail in the last, like, even just in my own health journey from, you know, when I was pregnant to now, which is almost 8 years at this point.
Yeah.
And I like recently just got over like years of severe chronic knee and wrist pain to where I was coaching clients and couldn't even lift a frying pan because I had wrist instability so bad. And like, I'm just very open with that because I'm like, cool, I have abs and I can't pick up my kids.
Yeah.
Like, so, this is not a goal body, my friends, like focus on yourself. So that's what I was saying before too. It's just like, you know, I think it's important also, like, as we're just like tying this in, it's like, for me as, like, I will just, I'm going to just be bold and say, like, as a leader in my industry, even though I'm not a celebrity trainer or whatever, I know that what I have to say is really important. And I also know that by me hiding pieces of myself, that also means that I'm hiding a lot of the truth because, you know, my goal isn't to make anybody feel intimidated because I look a certain way. And I have to keep remembering, like, you know, as a business owner, that is their trigger and not mine. Yeah. All I do is I show up. I provide fantastic free resources for people who don't want to be in close proximity to me, but just need someone to, you know, somewhere to find some information. And then for those that really want to work with me, can see past my body or past, you know, your net worth.
Right.
And be able to say, like, I really have something that I can learn from this person because they've been in my shoes in a different way.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, it's not an overnight thing and we don't want it to be, honestly. Oh. Like you want it to have real lasting change and like, how do you actually get there and all of that. And I love that. So kind of as we're like wrapping up, I like to end every interview because I'm all about like breaking free of the hustle culture. I'm about like, you know, living your best life, resting, doing things that are fun, all of that. So I like to ask all of my guests to share something that you love doing that doesn't bring you a profit, that doesn't grow your business, that doesn't make you money. What do you do for this? Like, just brings you joy.
You know, you caught me in a weird season with this one because this has kind of been the lesson that the universe has been like, hi, you need to come back to that.
Work-life balance.
When I am in balance, the things that I really enjoy doing is riding a motorcycle, which was a fun little thing I picked up during the pandemic. I got my endorsement and I bought my bike in cash, $3,000, baby.
Love it.
Her name's Pearl.
Love it.
So I love riding my motorcycle. I still love dance. I just don't, it's funny because it used to be my career. And then I stepped away for a really long time because I was like, I had so much ick about it for a long time. And now I've like reclaimed my love for my artistry. So just moving because I feel like it. any sort of art, whatever feels good, whether it's just like a crappy little stick figure doodle or, you know, pulling out the acrylic paints. I'm terrible and I don't even care. It's just fun.
I love it.
Lately, I've been into doing those pony beads. Like I've been doing the gecko keychains.
You know, my girls are, we're in a homeschool co-op and we do the most random classes. And my older two are in a beads class this semester. And they are literally making, you know, like those keychains and stuff. Like June made a avocado and Izzy made a like an ice cream cone, like keychain. So cute. With those.
Yeah, beads. I love it. I'm obsessed.
And they're loving it. Yeah.
My little 90s baby heart is just so happy making all the little geckos.
And then the moms. Yes. We literally had this conversation Monday. Me and one of the other moms were like, did you ever make like those lizard things with those? And she was like, yes. Why was that the only animal we made? And I was like, I don't know, but we did.
I blame Lisa Frank. Those geckos were everywhere.
They were everywhere. My mom had that keychain for probably 20 years, like on her car keys that I made her.
I love it. That's fantastic.
It was great. It was great. Yeah. So of course, we're going to link everything in the show notes of where people can find you and all of that. But tell us a little bit more, just the resources that you offer. If anyone's like, yes, this is my girl, I need to work with her, I need to follow her. Tell us a little bit more about what you offer and where people can find you.
Yeah. Well, it changes because I always am really flexible with my audience and, you know, what they need. But ultimately, my whole goal is to help you get strong, feel healthy, to rehab your core and pelvic floor. And I've always got, whether it's like a free challenge or a workshop or like low cost courses and things like that. But right now, I'm offering private coaching. I've got a gold VIP one-to-one, and I've got silver elite, which is still close proximity, but without the bells and whistles. Either of those, you can message me on Instagram at Chloe Puff Training, or there's a link in there as well if you want to just apply straight away. But ultimately, Instagram right now is kind of like where I'm at. My website is down for the count, but just in case it's back up, ChloePuffTraining.com. But yeah, feel free to message me on Instagram. There's always new stuff coming up.
Your Instagram is incredible. Like, I'm not sure how you like do all the things you do.
It's because I hire coaches so I can get really skilled because I really believe I practice what I preach. Like,
same. I know. Yeah, people tell me the same and I'm like, yeah, I have like a ton of people behind the scenes. Like,
I'm a one woman show. I do everything myself. I don't pride myself in that necessarily because I don't believe, I don't believe in that, but you know, this is the season I'm in. I'm okay with that. But, it does make me money, I will say, but one of my favorite things to do in my business is creating content, being creative, writing,
you create amazing
putting
content.
The graphics together.
Very
thank
well
you.
Branded, very like, it's very impressive. Like, creator to creator, I'm like, I always know that they're your posts before like I see your name. You know what I mean? Like the branding is very on, the reels are very informative. It's
great.
I mean, obviously you attracted me as a client when I was like, hey, this girl's like, she got it going on.
I take it serious. It's just me, but
it's awesome.
I take it serious.
I love it.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for everything that you shared. Of course, we're going to link everything in the show notes and we appreciate your time and thank you so much.
Thanks, Sammy. It's been amazing. I appreciate the conversation.
Thanks for hanging out for another episode of a Sunny Side Up Life podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend and leave a review. 5-star reviews are what help the podcast grow. Don't forget to check out the episode show notes for links to everything that we talked about in today's episode. And if you want to access all of my free resources or you want to learn how to work with me one-on-one, head over to asunnysideuplife.com to get started. And if you want to keep up with me in the day-to-day, don't forget to follow me on social media at asunnysideuplife. Well, that's all for me this week. Bye, guys.